miracles, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Deep sense of awe came over all of them. The apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Be seated, please. Let's keep standing because we're going to let the kids out here. Children are dismissed for the Bible hour.
Children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
All right, be seated, please. This is kind of a new thing for us. Almost 2 months ago now, we laid out a vision for the future, and the very day we're laying out our vision for the future, which was going to include kids. We have a family with kids show up, and kids start showing up for church, and now we've got a children's worship going on during the sermon, and it's just neat the way the Lord works. If you start praying for the right things, He starts opening the doors, doesn't He? And we're praying that He will continue to open doors for us, that we can share the good news, that we can expand His kingdom and see Him reigning in our hearts to make a difference in the world around us. And that's kind of what we're about this morning. We're in Acts chapter 2, the last verses of chapter 2. And we talked about Peter's sermon last week. But as a means for introducing kind of what we're doing today and just kind of building on what I just talked about, I want to introduce you to just some facts here that I'm picking up and I wanted to share with you because it's good news, more verification that God is moving among us. For example, we have this attendance record here that we've been tracking for a long time, and we had our Vision Sunday on August 19th, 2008. What I want to do is just kind of focus on this time that where we've collected the records here. And we've started tracking more closely on how our attendance is. And what you're seeing is we are responding to the challenge. When Dean and I kind of started putting our heads together and started dreaming about the kind of church we want this to be, that we believe God is leading us to and wanting to lift up the kingdom and expand its borders, we shared that with the congregation. When we shared that, you responded, which is exciting for those of us who are trying to lead you. When we suddenly come together and say, yeah, let's make a difference, we're starting to see our attendance grow. We're also seeing our contribution beginning to grow. You dug deeper in your pockets, you started making a difference, and it's really beginning to show. You see that red line is a trend line. It's showing the progress that's starting to happen as people search their hearts, make a decision for the Lord, and start leading this congregation as we lead together with the Lord, trying to make a difference in the world. One thing I noticed about this latest data collection since the Vision Sunday, we had a couple Sundays where we were kind of getting started, but with the first of the month came these new commitments from you as we've started taking on the challenge. And what we're seeing just here at the early stages, and I wanted to bring it to your attention, is that our lowest point over the last couple of last month has been higher than most of our peaks over the last 2 years. Do you understand what that says? That means our lowest point, we were meeting or pretty coming really close to eclipsing what our greatest points were. So the Lord's leading us forward in a way, and you're responding to it, and it's just that kind of spirit that we're seeing happen in the church. As we examine Acts chapter 2, it's happening here as well. Let me remind you again of what our vision was, what we shared with you on the 19th. Our sharpened focus is on Jesus. Our focus is on people who do not know Him. Not on trying to gather more Church of Christ people. We want to know who doesn't know Jesus, because they need to know Him. Life is desperate without Him. You won't make it. We want to be biblical, not traditional. We want to make sure that we're not hanging on to stuff that's not found in the Bible. We want to be moving forward on God's Word. We want to focus on children and families. And you're going to, in the back row there, you'll hear some of our people, the kids talking back there every now and then. It's okay, because we are all about wanting to make sure that we're about kids. And the Lord's blessed that request. We're starting to work in our small groups. We've got a ladies' group on Wednesday mornings. By the way, it's meeting at Lupe's. Everybody remember? Lupe and Tom's house this Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. We have a Sunday night group that gets together here at the building, just a small group. What's that? Is it the week after or this week? This Wednesday. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. We're trying to be more spontaneous, and that's one of the price tags. Well, we got it all right now, right? We're good to go. If both of them are on the same page, we're good. What's that? We're focusing on small groups, as we're going to see this morning in studying Acts chapter 2. That was a major feature of what they did in the first century. And so we've got a group meeting here Sunday night. We've got a group meeting most of the time Wednesday night at our place. But this Wednesday, because of Halloween, we've decided not to meet. By the way, I'll get that better. I'll get you later. Anyway, Wednesday night, we're not having our small. But we've got at least three small groups going. And we're trying to build some more and get those rolling, because it's in our neighborhoods that we want to start making a difference. I want to start getting to know my neighbors. I want to start being acquainted with who they are. And when they have trouble or when they have times when they need the Lord, I want to be there with a word for them to encourage them along the way. We want to be more intentional about our worship. And one of the things Corby mentioned when he first came here, he says, "Do you guys pray before you begin the worship service?" And I said, "You know, the women, Heidi, what do you mean? You guys. Yeah, okay. You people. All right. Not be as sexist in my talking. That would be more. But guys is a northern expression, right? We're really focused on being more meaningful in our worship, but what we haven't done is something I'm used to doing almost everywhere I've been, is gathering with the worship leaders and spending time in prayer. And our schedule really makes it tough to do that, coming from class and in here and trying to get, so I haven't been vigilant about that, but that is something we want to move toward, because we are trying to be more meaningful in our worship, more intentional, more direction focused. We've been focusing on Jesus talking about prayer in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And he said, if you start praying about things, you start believing about things. And when you believe that he's going to answer those prayers, if you're asking for the right thing, his promise is it will happen. Now, the key is praying for the right things. And we've talked about that before. And I don't want to, I'll get into another sermon here before long. But our key here and our key in our prayer is that we lift up Jesus Christ, not only in our lives, but also when we come together in worship. We're all about lifting up Jesus Christ, because when he said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw men to myself," right? And the other thing he said was, "By the way you love one another, they're going to know you're my disciples." And so our love for one another is a key element in becoming the church that God has wanted us to become. And so in that idea of faith and moving forward, we've really started making some changes here. We've got our children's Bible hour, and we're wanting to build towards a children's class. Dean is getting ready. He's wanting to start teaching a teenage class. And here we go. This is just the exciting thing that's happening here. We're also modifying the building for classes. And I'll talk about this at the end some, but we're going to close this area off and build some double doors here, and we're starting tomorrow night. Dean's already ordered the doors. They're here. We're actually going to put up the framing for the wall and close it in so that we can begin working back here to make a more conducive area for training our kids, having Bible classes that's separated from the entrance in the building. I mean, that's unfolding. And let me tell you one more little thing that goes with that is it's not going to come out of the church budget, where people are volunteering time and volunteering money separate apart from the budget, so that it's not going to impact our day-to-day functioning here. Now, isn't that cool? Are you picking up on what's happening here? We're moving forward, and as we've moved out in faith, God has said, I will provide. And so I just wanted to, they've talked about this convention center they're going to build down here, and we know about all these developments now that are beginning to happen around us, which means the Lord's preparing to send some people our way, and what we're saying is we want to be ready for them. When the Lord has visitors coming to see us, when they will darken our doors, we want our doors to fly open. We want to cast the net as widely as we can to bring in anyone who doesn't know about Jesus, so that we can tell them all about it and love them into the kingdom, right? And so we're setting up the machinery that helps us do that, which means there's a lot of behind-the-scenes kind of stuff that's happening. Let me just give you one example here, number three. We're modifying and updating our accounting procedures and reporting. Now, that sounds real mechanical, and it's really behind-the-scenes kinds of thing. But you may have noticed last week we had a bunch of a crazy thing going up here because we're instituting something. Let me give you just briefly the history. I think your son and Dick used to count the contribution every Sunday when you were at Evanston Avenue years ago. And here as well. Okay. So that was going on for a long time, and then eventually it became Dick and Don doing it together. They would, every Sunday at the end of service, they would begin counting the contribution. But eventually, between health concerns and other things they're dealing with, they had to let that go. And Corky gratefully and gracefully just simply picked it up silently and started doing the count on Sunday mornings by herself, which is a wonderful thing because she's got that sacrificial spirit that just wants to do and wants to help. But we've got to be accountable for what we do before each other, before the Lord. And it's not an expression of distrust of her. It's an expression of wanting to protect her that we've decided to build a team of people who are going to be focused on that, so that no one person has to be afraid of what might happen if someone had a question, right? And so what Dean and I, and then working with Larry, who's an accountant, we've come up with, we've got Dee Hudson and Euleen and Sally have all agreed to serve on this committee, and they've all agreed to the understanding of confidentiality. In fact, the rules are back here on this back table, if the guidelines that we're going to use in establishing an accounting team, so that Corky, when she gets the deposit, we already know what's going in the bag. She can carry it to the bank and know that no one has any questions about it. We just wanted to relieve that burden, that possibility from happening. Because I know when someone starts asking questions, then you start getting defensive because you're afraid someone's questioning your integrity. And we don't want to be in that position. We'd rather just say we're doing things with integrity from the beginning so that everyone will know without any question that we're doing what we need to do the right way. And so that's a slow process. You're going to see a lot of little changes along the way. But this, it's all in the spirit of wanting to be ready when the Lord sends the wave. We want to be positioned and ready for that. We're anticipating he's going to do it because that's what he wants to do. We want to be a church that he can say, there's a group of people over there. This person will fit right in. I'm going to send them to the Shoreline Church. And we want him to do that. We want to be intentional in our worship, and we want to grow in small groups. All right, I spent too much time on that. Here we are, 20 after already. What we're looking at is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, at the end of the book of Acts chapter 2. And man, there's just so much going on here as they're opening up. But they began by focusing on the apostles' teaching. What would that be? There weren't any New Testaments yet, right? Hadn't even been thought about. Nobody even thought about collecting Paul's letters because they hadn't even been written yet, right? The answer is these apostles are spending time with these new Christians, 3,000 of them, remember? Talk about church growth. 3,000 of them are sitting around the apostles finding out about everything that Jesus had done over the last 3 years, the last 40 days they'd spent with Jesus, as he connected the dots with Old Testament passages, and as he began explaining to them how he fulfilled all of these things, right down to the last psalm, the last passage in Joel, the last passage in Malachi. From Genesis to Malachi, the prophecies over and over kept pointing to Jesus. This is a time for the apostles to spend time with these new Christians, connecting the dots. It's going to be eyewitness testimonies. I remember when Jesus said, you forgot about this part. And you have this actual dialogue that's taking place as people are talking about what Jesus said and what he did and who was touched by him. You have this teaching of the Holy Spirit. You have Peter in his sermon able to actually quote from Joel as though he read it every day, that he'd spent time memorizing it. Somehow the Spirit infused his brain with all of the passages he needed so that he could speak off the cuff and speak with authority and accuracy using God's Word. Incredible. Plus, remember later on, and a little later on in Acts, that people are actually standing in the street, cripples and sick people, waiting for Peter to pass by, hoping his shadow would come across and suddenly they'd be healed. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in the mall and it's packed with people, and all of a sudden you see this yelling going on over here in the corner where this group has been meeting and listening to this person, and you start asking, what's going on over there? And they said, the cripple that we've known for 30 years just got healed. And this the yeast is being spread all over the town. It's just an amazing time. And so we find also that they're there sharing and caring for one another. And remember, there's no New Testament yet. There's no mass production. The Old Testaments could be found in Hebrew and Aramaic and in some Greek, but they would be in synagogues. Portions of them would be in synagogues, and the whole set would be found in the temple. It wasn't like you could go pick one up at the dime store and take it home with you. There was no mass production. So there just had to be this deep training of these people before they go. Many of them were from as far away as Northern Africa, from Italy, from Syria, from Europe, from all around those areas. When they went home, they were going to be the only Christians in those communities. And so it was really important that you seat these people well in their faith so that they can be strong and be ready to share their faith with other people. Second thing they did was fellowship. We know about fellowship, right? That's where you get together and you encourage one another, you ask how you're doing, and you start telling each other how I'm doing, and the other person actually listens because they care. It's not just an expression we say, hey, how you doing, and walk by. We want to know. If you're not doing well, we want to know what's going on. And we want to know how we can help, right? That's what fellowship is all about. It's this koinonia, this getting together, this rubbing shoulders, this spending time talking about the struggles I've had. This time I shared the Lord with somebody and they didn't respond quite like I expected. You know, what do you do in those situations? And you start talking about these different alternatives that go on. The breaking of bread is a two-pronged expression that was used in the New Testament. Number one, we're all familiar with, is potluck, right? We came together, we got together, and we had breaking of bread. We broke bread, and we came together in fellowship, and we gathered around the table. Jesus gathered around the table with so many people looking to form those relationships with people one-on-one. When he went to Zacchaeus' house, they had a banquet. When he went to Matthew's house, they had a banquet. You know, it's just one of those things you do when you're building relationships. You enjoy that. But the other thing it can also mean is communion. And it's something we've practiced off and on here in our small groups. When we get together in each other's homes, we often break bread. We'll have soup or something like that. But then somebody will show up with some bread and grape juice. And we'll begin having communion. Because when is it ever not appropriate to celebrate what Christ has done for us? Is there a time when this is not appropriate here? I don't think so. No. So anytime we get together, we want to remind each other why we're together. And so communion is just part of the fabric of what we do. It's not just Sunday morning. It's not just located the time and place. It's something we do whenever the body comes together to celebrate the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. All right, and fourth, prayer. And we've talked about that as we work through the Sermon on the Mount. Prayer was part of their time. But I think it was a kind of different prayer. It's a kind of different prayer because of something that was very important. We talked about this in class this morning. You ever hear of Jubilee in the Old Testament? Yeah. Okay. Like every 7 years, I think I've got this in a slide coming up here, but it was this idea, you have this whole body of people who are suddenly sharing their property with each other. They're selling their property, and they're sharing the funds with each other. And there's this germ that's infecting, where everybody's just kind of liquidating their assets to make sure everybody's needs are covered, because it's not going to matter. Why? Because just as he left and went into the clouds, so he's going to return again. Therefore, in anticipation of Jesus' return, we get ready for, we're just shedding it off. We don't care about the stuff we got. Our stuff just doesn't matter. We're just looking forward to his return. That was permeating the congregation at the time. And this whole idea of the Sabbath year, every seventh year, the Jews were required to just stop tilling the land, let it rest for a year, and then come back. And there were other things as well. This is all in Leviticus chapter 25. Then the second thing was every 49th year, whether it was the 49th or the 50th year, we're not sure, but every 49th year, if you had indebted yourself to a neighbor and given him your land to cultivate so that he could help you repay your debt, and if you became his indentured servant to him, the scales were set flat again. Everything was flat. You were hit the reset button. Your land, your family's land was returned to you. Your debts were canceled. Your enslavement to your neighbor or your employer was suddenly canceled. Now you're starting all over from scratch again. Everything returns to the way it's supposed to be. And that's the kind of spirit that permeated the congregation. Jubilee is here. Jesus is coming again. What do you need? I've got stuff here I can give away. Let me help you out. And you had this germ of this infection of joy that was just permeating the whole community as they all kept looking to the skies. Could be any minute now. Can you imagine being part of a community like that? When I think about that first century church as they began moving from the pall of the cross,